And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. God is good, and all the time. Let's say that again. God is good, and all the time. Good evening, everyone. How was your day? Well, we thank God for a good day. Even if your day was rough, you're still alive. And we thank God for that. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Difficulties are brought into our lives sometimes by God so that we may find a reason to come to God and pray. I was reading something, listening to someone today, and the person said, when our prayer decreases, God sends some trials into the life so that we may resume a life of prayer because he misses us. I'm delighted to see you. I thank God for the privilege of spending these next few days with you. I don't know what is happening, but there seems to be developing a love affair between Pasai and Randy Skeet. And if the Lord is leading that relationship, then fine. At least we're both equally yoked. Can you say amen? Amen? All right. So thank you very much. I really mean that, for the high honor of being with you. And I thank God for the special privilege of speaking for him. God is good. That was weak. God is good. And all the time. Do three favors for me. Favor number one, if you have one of these, I'd prefer that you use it. If all you have is the phone, please make sure it does not ring. And please don't text during the service, because I'm quite sure you will not be texting Jesus. All right. Favor number two, while I'm speaking, pray for me and say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. That is based on Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, which says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth, because I only want to speak God's words, and I want to keep my opinions to myself. Favor number three, I want you to think as you listen. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. As you listen, you have a responsibility to think. That's why God gave us minds. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much, dear God, for life. Thank you, Father, for the freedom we have to worship you in this country. We thank you today, God, that we arrived at this place without accident or tragedy. Even though, dear God, we may not have everything we want, we're still grateful to you for sight, for hearing, for roof over our heads, for food. There's so much, dear God, for which to thank you. And we praise your name for the way you preserve us and provide. If we've sinned against you, Father, forgive us. Give us the spirit of confession, dear God, and forgive our sins. And as you remove the sins, replace them with the righteousness of Christ. Father, my task is to deliver your word. Your word is holy. Your word is divine. I am not that way. And so I ask you, dear Father, in the name of Jesus, help me. Take possession of my faculties, God. I give you permission. Possess me. Use me as an instrument, as a trumpet of truth played by you. And let the words of truth find a welcome in every listening mind. A special blessing on all our guests, I pray. And if they are people of yours, worshiping you around this country right now as we are, bless them, dear God, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, amen and amen. Job chapter 38, reading from verse 1. What book did I say? Job. While I'm speaking, I ask you to pray for me, but in addition to asking God to put his words in my mouth, ask God to strengthen my voice. It's a little weak tonight. So please be sure to do that. Job 38, reading from verse 1. Then God answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. God is putting Job in his place, as he needs to put us in our place from time to time. And God asks Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Now, if you examine Genesis chapter 1, the very last thing God made were human beings. So that Adam did not witness the creation of light, the creation of the firmament on day 2, the creation of dry land, or the separation of land from water on day 3. Adam and Eve did not witness the creation of vegetation on day 3. The sun, moon, and stars on day 4. Fish and birds on day 5. And land animals on day 6. When they opened their eyes, everything was in place. And God is correct in asking Job, where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Now, who is this questioning Job? Let us go to John chapter 1. We'll read from verse 1. Our subject, who do you think you are? John chapter 1, reading from verse 1. Do we have John 1? Reading from verse 1. If you found it, say amen. All right. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Which means that while Job could not claim to have been around when God created, the same cannot be said about the Word. There's someone who was present at creation, and that was the Creator himself. That's the one we're reading about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It is this person who laid the foundations of the earth. But who was he? Verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 14, and the word was made flesh. Which tells us immediately that the word in verse 1 and 2 and 3 is none other than Jesus Christ. In other words, it was Christ who laid the foundations of the earth. Listen to God the Father telling us that. Hebrews chapter 1, let's read from verse 8. Our subject, who do you think you are? Hebrews 1, reading from verse 8. We were in John, now we're going to Hebrews. You have Hebrews chapter 1. This is God the Father speaking to the Son. A very remarkable passage in the Bible. We are eavesdropping as the Father speaks to the Son. And unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now God is continuing to speak in verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. The Father tells the Son, it was you who laid the foundations of the earth. Now, go back to Job 38. Job 38. Listen to God speaking to Job. Verse 4 of Job 38. Our subject, who do you think you are? When you found Job again, say amen. All right, let me pause and pray one more time. Father in heaven, as I continue with this message, dear God, continue to speak through me and grant to me the humility to listen to the Spirit when he tells me to say this or don't say that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Job 38, verse 4. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Now, who was it who was speaking to Job? Jesus Christ. He was not called Jesus Christ then, but it was Jesus Christ talking to Job, because according to the words of the Father in Hebrews 1 verse 10, it was Jesus Christ who laid the foundations of the earth. And so Jesus says to Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Who laid the measurements for the earth? Verse 6, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who has laid the cornerstone thereof? And Jesus asked Job a series of questions. By the way, more than 80, between verses chapter 38 and 41, God asked Job more than 80 questions. He could not answer one. What am I getting at? Why was it necessary for God to put Job in his place? We are no different from Job. We act as if we were present at creation and we assisted God in creation. We act as if the world is ours. We act as if we belong to ourselves. And for those of us who live our lives as though we belong to ourselves, God can ask us tonight, where were you when I made mankind? Let me tell you something about Jesus and the Father. Because Jesus says, everything the Father has is his, and everything he has belongs to the Father. So there's a, what's his is mine, what's mine is his. Let's look at something about Jesus Christ.
Go to Genesis 14. We'll read from verse 18. Genesis 14, reading from verse 18. Our subject, who do you think you are? Well, I could have said, who do I think I am? What book did I say? What chapter? Reading from what verse? 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, now Melchizedek is blessing Abraham, who just came back from a war, which he won. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. God possesses rightfully heaven and earth. Now let's go to verse 21. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the people or the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. This passage we just read is not in the book of Revelation. And I like to say that because so many times we read the Bible as if most of it is symbolic. The reverse is true. Most of the Bible is what? Literal. Listen to a literal verse. And he blessed him and said, verse 19, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Let me be precise. The Philippines belong to God. And can you have a better landlord than God? The Philippines belong to God. Angola belongs to God. Ethiopia belongs to God. The United States belongs to God. Sweden belongs to God. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What is the fullness? Let's go back over the countries. All the gold in South Africa, finish my words, belong to God. This is literal. All the copper in Zambia belongs to God. All the diamonds in Botswana and Namibia and DRC belong to God. All the rainforests of South America belong to God. But let's be even more precise. Listen again to Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You belong to God. And if you've allowed the devil to run your life, you've allowed someone who has no real claim to your life to be running your life. You belong to God by creation and redemption. The house in which you live belongs to God. Is there wood in your house? Yes. Who made trees? God. Is there stone in your house? Who made the solid earth? God. Does water come from the tap in your house? Yes. Who made water? God. Now you may say, why is it going on and on? Because when the mind has been conditioned in a certain direction, it is not easy to turn that mind in the opposite direction. And so while some of you may say, yes, I believe that I belong to God, if you believe that, you will change the way you eat. Amen. And drink. Amen. Because this belongs to God. Now many of you run businesses. Am I right? The book Education, page 138, 137, paragraph 4. You'll understand why I keep emphasizing everything belongs to God. Education, 138, 137, paragraph 4. Well, you don't have to look for it, but you can write it down. Have you written it down? Here's what it says. Especially you business persons, listen carefully. That which lies at the foundation of business integrity and true success is the recognition of God's ownership. The creator of all things, he is the original proprietor. All, we are his stewards. All that we have is a trust from him to be used in accordance with his direction. I feel compelled to say that again. What's the reference? Education? 137? Listen carefully, please. That which lies at the foundation. No part of a building is more important than the foundation. That which lies at the foundation of business integrity. Most businesses today are run on the principle of dishonesty. And I can speak for my country. From top to bottom, north to south, east to west, in and out, dishonesty drives businesses in the United States, and I'm sure in the Philippines, in Sweden, Japan, and Russia. Because people do not trust integrity as a profitable business strategy. But it is. Because the businessman or the businesswoman who practices integrity has God as a business partner. And when God is in the business, failure is impossible. And so the author writes, that which lies at the foundation. Your first step in establishing a business is to recognize whatever you're selling belongs to God. Whether it is a physical product like food or whether you're selling your intellect, that belongs to God. That which lies at the foundation of business integrity and true success is the recognition, acknowledge, admit, confess, recognize God's ownership. The creator of all things. He is the original proprietor. We are his stewards. All that we have, let me stress that again, all that we have except our sins is a trust from him to be used in accordance with his direction. Let's look at a businessman practicing integrity. Genesis 14. Our subject, who do you think you are? Genesis 14. Now let me give you the background of this chapter. Abraham's nephew Lot was taken captive by four armies that came from the other side of the Euphrates. Abraham learns that Lot has been captured. He organizes 318 of his men, goes in pursuit of the combined armies, defeats them, of course, with God's help, brings back Lot, all the women, all the people, all the goods, all the possessions. So they belong to Abraham. Because he won the war. The king of Sodom, who ran and hid when the battle broke out. He comes to Abraham, verse 21 of Genesis 14. Let me say another prayer. Father, as I continue, dear God, please suppress myself and let your spirit come to the surface. Let him speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 21. The king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. I'm sure some of you have businesses, you're dealing goods, whatever the goods may be. The king said to Abraham, give me the people that I may repopulate my city. You take all the goods. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, listen carefully, to a Christian businessman, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord. What does that mean to you? He swore. He didn't curse, he swore. I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord. Many of us, we get in trouble because we do not make decisions ahead of time. If you know you'll be traveling with some unsanctified colleagues, make up your mind before the journey, I will represent God. Don't wait until you are in the unsanctified influence and then find yourself falling. Make a decision before. Make up your mind. I'll go to school on time tomorrow morning. Make a decision. I will read God's word tonight. Lift up your hand unto the Most High. I will pray tonight. And Abram said, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God. Here's what he swore. That I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet. And I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich. Now let's look at what Abraham said he would not take. I will not take from a thread. What is a thread? Ladies, do you sometimes see a little thread hanging from your hem? You clip it off. Abraham said, I'm not even taking that. Or a shoe latchet. Some of you men, you're wearing shoes that have laces, such as I have. Abraham is saying, even though I have the military power to commandeer and claim all this possession, I will not. Because I am not functioning by military principles. I am functioning by righteous principles. There's something called market forces. Huh? There's something called the law of supply and demand. As a product decreases in availability, the price goes up. In the southern part of the United States, particularly Florida, every summer we have hurricanes. And the first thing people buy is water. And when hurricanes are coming, the price of water goes up as water becomes scarce. I mean, bottled water. That's not how God functions. Because that is exploiting people's vulnerability. It makes no difference to me if you have a PhD from the Philippine School of Business. You must function by divine principles. In a time of scarcity, God didn't raise the price. He removed the price. Are you with me? In our most vulnerable state, God gave salvation freely. Market forces cannot take the place of your conscience. Because everything you have belongs to God. When you and I conduct ourselves as though they belong to us, eventually God will have to talk to us as he spoke to Job. Who do you think you are? And as we look at Abraham, our spiritual father, and the Bible says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Abraham practiced what I call micro-integrity, which is the shortened version of microscopic integrity. Listen to the Bible dealing with this. Luke 16. It's 8:30. No, 7:30, sorry. No, what time is it? 7:30, okay. What book did I say? Luke 16, all right, Luke 16, verse 10. As you read this verse, concentrate on what the verse is saying. It reveals a principle by which God functions. Luke 16, reading verse 10. Our subject, who do you think you are? If you have the King James Version, read with me. It's a very well-known verse. What does it say? He that is faithful in that which is least, come on, is faithful also in much. Stop. We looked at Abraham. Abraham would not take a thread or a shoe latchet. Which to us might seem insignificant. But in the eyes of God, there is no such thing as insignificant when it comes to integrity. Because God examines how we behave in the little things. Let me apply that to the end time. If you cannot stand for God when your exam is set on Sabbath, how will you stand for God when the Sunday law is passed? If you cannot be faithful in a little thing, how will you be faithful when death hangs over your head? The Bible says, he that is faithful in that which is least, microscopic, is faithful also in that which is much. Finish the verse. And he that is what? Unjust in the least, finish the verse, is unjust also in much. A little dishonesty leads to big dishonesty. We as a people, I mean human beings, we tend to grade sins. That's a big one, and that's a little one. Let me ask you this. For the big sin, what price did Jesus pay? His life. That's for the big sin. Let's come to a little one. A little one the size of a mustard seed. What price did he pay for that? His life. Then you tell me, how does a little sin affect God? How does a white lie affect God? How does cheating on my taxes affect God? How does lying on my immigration papers affect God? My brothers and sisters, we serve a God who only understands integrity. As Christians, we reserve our Christianity to singing hymns on Sabbath morning and drinking soy milk and whatever else grows from the dirt. Most of your life is not spent in church. Are you with me? Most of our lives is spent outside. So if the only time you can discern I'm a Christian is 2 hours a week, something is wrong with my Christianity. My relationship with God must be seen out there, on the jeepney, in the marketplace, on the basketball court, in the bank. That's where we spend most of our time. Most of the events in our lives are small. You didn't hear what I said? What did we read in Luke 16:10? He that is faithful in that which is least. Most of the events in our lives are small. Once in a while, a big one comes along. And the Bible says, be faithful in the little things. Says God, and I'm watching you. God does not spy, He watches. Then He determines whether you and I are fit for the big things. All this week, I'll be dealing with principles by which to conduct our lives, and more specifically, our businesses. Because business and religion are the same thing. You look at me as if you're saying, explain that. Let the Bible explain it. Go to Exodus 19. Business and religion are the same thing. Exodus 19. Do you have that? Not yet. We'll read from verse 4. It's 20 to 8. I'll let you go on time. I know you have school tomorrow and work tomorrow. I'm aware of that. Exodus 19, reading from verse 4. Just before we read, I'll pray again. Father, I'm coming to the end. Please continue to fill my mind and my mouth with your words. Help my words to be simple, I pray, because simplicity is power. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is God speaking to Moses. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, read with me now, then ye shall be unto me what? Say it again, ye shall be what? A peculiar treasure, King James, unto me. Come on, keep reading. Above. Stop. Oh, the promises of God are almost beyond belief. And what I mean by that is they're so fantastic. God says, if you obey me, you will be so special to me above every other nation on earth. Next verse. And ye shall be unto me what? A kingdom of priests. Go on. And a holy nation. Stop. What is a holy nation? We have a kingdom of priests. Now we see the spiritual side of the kingdom of priests. Priests, fine. But a holy nation, let me ask you this. When I told you business and religion are the same thing, on what days of the week were the Israelites to be a holy nation? Why are you taking so long? 7 days a week. How many hours a day? 24. God called the Israelites to be a holy nation, which means Israel was to be a nation church. The whole nation was a church that functioned 7 days a week. So that in the interaction with other nations, holy. In running their businesses, come on, holy. In dealing with criminals, holy. In handling their money, holy. In dealing with their health, holy. A holy nation is holy in every aspect of life. I sometimes like to ask this question. What secular things are done in heaven? What secular things are done in heaven? Anything a holy person does, which means it is holy, because God is involved in holiness. Are you following me? Why was the desert holy where Moses was? Because God was present. Why could not the angel destroy Zoar? Because a holy man, Lot, was present. If you and I are only holy on Sabbath, we're not holy at all. And so tonight, I present to you, first of all, the consciousness, the fact, the principle, the truth, that our behavior cannot change. Everything belongs to God. This must be the foundation of any business plan you have. And if it is not part of your business plan, revise your business plan. Two, God is a God of microscopic integrity. Every shilling you make should be an honest shilling. Will somebody say amen? Say that again. You're what? Oh, you're soaking in. Okay. All right. Well, continue soaking. Let me say it again. When you look at your profits, when you've done your book, don't cook your books, do your books. Every shilling must bring from you the sound of a clear conscience. I have robbed no one. I have taken no bribes. I have manipulated no one. Micro integrity. It's like a Christian student taking an exam. He sits at the exam and the professor accidentally left the answer sheet on the student's desk. And the student raises his hand and says, "Professor, you left," and with his hands, cloak covering his eyes, "Professor, you left the answer sheet on my desk." I'm closing the book. Many of us suffer because we do not do things God's way. Then we blame God. Let me say it again with a brotherly love, but boldness. Many of us, we suffer because we do not do things God's way. Then we blame God and we leave God. But God's promise is, if you obey me, if you keep my covenant, the foundation of which is God's law, I will bless every area of your life. And so tonight, as I ask the question, who do I think I am? And I say to God, "Father, I am a sinner, I'm human, I'm weak. Forgive me for those times when I thought that my life was mine, that my brain is mine, that my memory is mine, that my voice is mine, that my speech is mine." When God sent Moses to speak to Pharaoh, and Moses says, "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue," God said to him, "Who hath made man's mouth? And who hath made man's mouth?" Simply represents every other anatomical structure. God says, "I made your mouth. I can fix your mouth. I made your eyes. I made your brain. I made your liver. I made your stomach. I made your whatever. Because I made them, they're mine." Because not only is the ownership of God the foundation of business, but the right, the only right a person has to claim ownership is creation. Let me say that more clearly. If you and I have not created something, we don't own it. That's why God is the only owner. We, finish my words, are stewards. And so the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have not ownership, dominion. No created being has ownership. Except for sinners, we own our sins. Tonight, I want you to say, Father, help me to live my life with the consciousness that everything I have, except my sins, belong to you. Listen to me again. I want you to make a commitment right now. Father, help me to live my life with the understanding that everything I have, except my sins, rightfully belong to you. How many will make that commitment? Can I see your hand? God bless you. God bless. Stand up with me. Your eyes belong to God. Come on, say amen loudly. Then be careful what you watch. Be careful about the sites you go to on the internet. Your eyes. And if God decided to take away his sight, you would collapse and start crying and praying to God, Father, sorry, I'll never go to those sites again. Your hearing belongs to God. Lay aside all that rap music, all that rock music, all that secular music that wars against the soul. Your mouth belongs to God. Be careful what you eat. I can go on and on, but you get the point. And I can sum it all up by saying, your life belongs to God. Live it for Him. Can you say amen to that?
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.